Welcome to Buy Sci-Fi Bite-Sized Finance. I'm Kelly Brothers. I'll be your host, serving up some of the most succulent stories from our region about people, places, and things that impact our community and your financial well-being. I'm sure there will even be a few tasty surprises here and there when the recipe is right. Our goal is to have you learn, think, even laugh a little bit, all calorie-free. I know you'll enjoy what we're delivering right to your kitchen table or dining room or, sir, will you be eating in your car? Wherever you choose to listen. It is time for Bite-Sized Finance. Kelly Brothers alongside. Once again, thanks so much for joining in wherever you find your favorite podcast or Sundays, 3 o'clock, KFBK and KSTE. This is the podcast or radio show where we get to talk with people who have interesting professions who are moving the region forward in one way or another. And our guest today is the one and only Brian Sarabian. Brian, I know you're not a household name, but it doesn't matter. I can still introduce you as the one and only Brian Sarabian. Brian, great to see you.
Kelly, pleasure to be here and always good to see you.
Thank you, my friend. Brian is in at least his 25th year with the San Francisco Giants, which is amazing. I mean, he started out at shortstop, then moved to third. No, he didn't do that. He started out as an intern while he was at the University of Santa Clara and currently runs all Giants social media, which is a big job. If you're tied into any social media attached to a professional sports team, you know how much content goes out on a daily and weekly basis, especially in the middle of the season. And Brian, as we record this, the season is just underway. Brian, I find it interesting. This is a job that when you were growing up did not even exist, right? I mean, it's
That's
not like
correct.
A kid grows up in the 80s and 90s thinking, I'm going to be the head of social media for a baseball team. There was no social media. What
there
was
no
when you were a young kid? Or did you just want to work in sports or in baseball one way or another?
I didn't think a lot about it. I think like most kids, you pretend for playing for your favorite team. I actually did have visions of becoming a sports announcer. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there that want to be the next Kelly Brothers. So, you know, I was looking at.
Hopefully they can aspire to more than that, Brian. That's what I'm hoping.
But, you know, yeah, I think just being close to baseball, I grew up in Fresno. My father was from San Francisco, so I had this affinity with the Giants. And it was just fun to kind of be around the game. And we actually had a single A team, Will Clark. I saw Will Clark make his debut in 1985 in Fresno, single A. So baseball, it wasn't very good, but I enjoyed it. You know, like most kids, we traded baseball cards. We watched games together, go up to Candlestick when we could. And then, yeah, I went to Santa Clara back in the early 90s. And lo and behold, they were looking for sports broadcasters to do the student-run station. And I had a chance to do play-by-play for a number of sports, including the Santa Clara Broncos, featuring Steve Nash at point guard, featuring at one time Randy Wynn, who became, you know, a big player for the San Francisco Giants, and even Lloyd Pierce, who was the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks and is currently with the Indiana Pacers. So there was some young budding talent there. Unfortunately, I was not part of that group, so my announcing career ended, but that lent me to get an internship with the Giants. I didn't even know that sports teams really had, you know, marketing and PR departments. So that's kind of how I found out about it. And actually, I interned with volunteered for the World Cup in 1994. And that led me to some professionals that were working in the Bay Area and got me an internship with the Giants. So, you know, there was no social media. Didn't really know much about marketing for a sports team, but I was a marketing major at Santa Clara and it just kind of all came together.
Sure did. Man, you came in right at the right time. So give us the overview, Brian. You run social media for the Giants. How many people do you have working for you? How many platforms are you on? How much content do you put out? Give us kind of the brag sheet numbers of what you guys do to increase engagement between the Giants and their fans.
Yeah, and just to, and I'll give you a little bit of context. In 2010, I started running the Giants' social media accounts. And at that time, it was two accounts. It was a Facebook account, and it was the formerly called Twitter account. And it was just myself trying to figure out, what is a sports team? How do we communicate with this tool? We didn't have any fancy equipment, just had an iPhone and a lot of access. And at that time, it wasn't actually a lot of players, a lot of coaches weren't really into social media. So I didn't get as much access as we get today. But we fast forward to today, and actually the team at the Giants, which is way more talented than I ever was, there's 4 full-time social media team members with 2, we just added 2 more seasonal that will be helping us, in addition to 2 team photographers, a number of videographers, a graphic designer, all of that we work interchangeably throughout the season, you know, starting, there is no off season really, but now that we're really kicking in the gear, capturing highlights, and you'll follow us everywhere from X or Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Snapchat, TikTok, LinkedIn, of course, YouTube, which is becoming even bigger for us, and a few others, but those are the main ones. And when you watch a Giants game on TV, you see the game, you see a lot of highlights, but a lot of people don't watch the game live. They can follow us in various channels, or they can follow along as they're watching. Leading up to the game, we'll have a lot of information, but there's also a lot of produced videos on top of kind of the highlights. There's graphics, there's information. As we talk now, we're 48 hours away from our home opener, so there'll be a lot of coverage of kind of what's happening on and off the field, everything from the ceremonial first pitches to the anthem to the seventh inning stretch to any celebrities to family in the stands, all of that, as you like to say, bite-sized on the platform of your choice. So there's no end to content, and fans just want more of it, especially when you have good players and your team is playing well.
No, absolutely. You know, it occurs to me, as you were saying, you have those 4 full-timers and 2 seasonals and photographers and videographers. I mean, the season really doesn't slow down for baseball. Maybe you get a 5 or 6 day break at the All-Star break, but other than that, the team is playing 6 days a week, you know, most weeks, some weeks 7. Sometimes they only play 5, I guess, but on average, you're at least 6 days a week. You got something going on and someone's got to cover it, right?
That's right. We have at least 1 person on the road at all, you know, when the team travels, and when they're home, we'll have obviously more people. But even then, everyone is connected and watching the game through their computer, connected through various communication. We're always communicating. There might be people, freelance people as well, that don't work for our team, but for that day we'll provide content. So we're all connected. And even when you're not covering the game, something might come up. There might be some news, or you just want to stay connected. So it's really an intense job if you are covering, especially during the season. But it can be extremely fun. And there's just something about having your pulse, your finger on the pulse of a sports team when you have, you know, the kind of the engagement that we have with our fans. So it really can be a grind, but it can be very exciting. And you try to balance that out through 162 games and hopefully more in October.
Yeah. So let's just take the season opener. So are you in the meetings as they sit down and say, all right, here's what we're going to do. Here's where we start. Here's the first pitch. Here's who's going to be in the convertible going around the ring of the field. You've got to be in there, right? Because you're the one planning who's covering what.
Yeah, there's a group of people that have different jobs, but yeah, we'll have something that's called a run a show. And even though baseball does not have a clock, it does have a pitch clock, but there's no clock. There's a clock for something like that. So we'll say something, you know, if the game first pitch is at 1:35, gates will open at, I believe that day, let's say 9:35. I should double check that, but you'll know everything that's happening on the scoreboard in anticipation. You know exactly when John Miller will come down to the field. People need to know where certain people will be and where everyone will have a handler, especially if you're with a talent or a celebrity that is coming down to the field. So part of that is planning. And I think that's the other thing about my job I really love, is that we all have our own responsibilities, but we collaborate a lot and say, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did this? Or does anyone have an idea? We're going to introduce Bob Melvin, our manager, for the first time, who grew up in the Bay Area. who played for the Giants. And someone says, let's do this video that kind of shows his connection. He had this great quote. So a video will be played and I'll say, hey, can we have that video and play that on social media at the same time? Great. There you go. So there's a lot of that cross collaboration. A day like opening day, your home opener, it's really incredible. It's a lot of work, but you run into people who will say, I remember opening day 2010 and this happened and I was with my family. I might have skipped school or something. It's just, it's a holiday. There's something that's very special about it. So I think we take it very seriously, but at the same time, we know we're putting on a show for our fans. And my job, especially, there's 40,000 fans in the ballpark. There's, you know, a million or more that can't be there that want to kind of be connected. And that's where social media comes into play.
Not to mention, you know, people should never forget the value of sound, the crack of the bat, the crowd going crazy. Not to mention the fact that, I mean, to me, the soundtrack of our summer nights are Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko. So when you got their voices and John Miller, I mean, what a great soundtrack, Brian. It really is. The whole mix of it all kind of comes together. So
yeah, what we hear, Kelly, what we hear is people feel like they're part of their family because they're in their living room every night. You know, they'll have the game on, whether they're watching it or it's on in the background or there's a radio. People feel not just it's a soundtrack, but that they actually have this connection with them. And that's how strong their presence is. And that's how strong baseball is. It makes you feel like you really are not just, you know, a spectator, but you feel that connection, that emotional connection that you can't get in many other places.
Oh, yeah. No. And I mean, and you guys are, I mean, I just, something that jumps out in my head as you think about memories and Bob Melvin growing up in the Bay Area. I remember the picture you guys had of Brandon Crawford. Brandon no longer with the Giants, but I remember the picture of him as a kid when he was at the ballpark where they were about to sell and move to St. Petersburg,
right,
or something. And here's this cute little kid who would go on to lead the Giants to multiple championships. And it was just a great kind of looking back picture. Hey, Brian, we got to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to dive into the business of what you do. I want to understand why you're on the platforms you're on, you know, how you measure engagement, how you measure success. Because that's the thing. You could do so much with your content and you could formulate it in so many different ways and put it out there every which way to Sunday. But how do you decide where your team focuses its efforts and what metric you use to make sure that it's going to the right place? Brian Sarabian, head of social media for the San Francisco Giants, is our guest on Bite-Sized Finance.
Hello, this is Will Gabry, and I am an advisor with CapTrust here in the Sacramento area. I'm a busy father of four, and life comes at us fast. As my 20th year of advising clients begin, I want to take a moment and reflect on why I'm thankful to have chosen this profession. Quite simply, I get to help people. I work with clients on wealth management, income, and taxes, to name a few. But even more importantly, I get to be part of great relationships. People often interact with an advisor during life events, and I've been with clients through difficulties and joyous times. Conversations, connections, and trust built mean more to me than anything else. Working at a nationwide firm like CapTrust gives me a team of professionals to assist in all aspects of financial advising. Being part of our local office means great care and service to our clients. If you would like to start a discussion and see how we can partner with you, you can find me at CapTrust.com. Look for Will Gabry, G-A-B-R-I. Thank you.
Hello, this is Marcel Pumpto with CapTrust in our Roseville office. I specialize in providing retirement plan advisory services to corporate fiduciaries. While we focus on many areas such as investment management and vendor oversight, it's our dedication to working closely with participants that drives my passion for the industry. Without a high level of engagement between advisors and participants, even well-designed retirement plans can fall short of their objectives. Should you have any questions on your retirement plan, please reach out. Marcel Plumpto at CapTrust.com.
Back again on Bite Size Finance. Today, our guest is Brian Sarabian, head of social media for the San Francisco Giants. And Brian, let's talk about, I mean, you mentioned all the platforms you're on, and how do you choose your platforms? I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, do you see value from each? Have you dropped some over the years? Do some platforms get a lot more effort than others? How do you figure that out?
That's a really good question, Kelly. I think, you know, in the beginning, when I say the beginning, in 2010, 2012, you know, Facebook was actually, we go back to MySpace.
Whoa.
Which kind of set the, you know, standard for
buggy whip. Yeah.
Where we are. But, you know, Facebook really kind of took the forefront. And then here comes Twitter, a real time kind of news and updates. And then I think people, brands and celebrities and everyone starts jumping on, and everyone kept saying, what's next? What's the next? We don't want to miss it. And then let's fast forward to today, and you have this, there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of platforms, and one can argue that, you know, maybe there's too many, but at the same time, how do we look at it is who's on each platform and how do we speak to that audience? So example, we know TikTok is probably the hottest of all of them in terms of growth, and it definitely has the youngest. Well, that, and also I think the three that we look at right now with Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok having the youngest fan base of our fans on there in terms of the demographics. So we'll look at TikTok and say this is, you know, something that we will put some highlights on there, but we'll also do it in an amusing way. We'll also try to find, you know, things around music and food and fashion that is more around the culture of baseball and especially what younger fans want. And in Instagram, kind of similar, but very much focused on photos and video. And those might have direct highlights. And then we talk about YouTube. We have a few long form videos that might be 10 to 15 minutes. And I encourage our fans to go on all of our channels, but especially on YouTube. We have a new player by the name of Jung Hoo Lee from South Korea. He's already a star there. He's only 25 years old, but we could tell based on our social media, based on our YouTube especially, how many views we were getting. And he hit his first home run the other night. It became our highest viewed video in history, hitting over a million views in less than 48 hours. And the majority of those coming from South Korea. So we're obviously not looking to monetize globally quite yet, or at least not in that notion, but we do use that, you know, information to say we've got ourselves, you know, we knew he was popular. We didn't know how popular. And this is a way for us to measure it. But we'll have different channels, we'll have different strategies, and we measure each channel a little differently. I think not to get too into the weeds, but, you know, basically impressions and how many people see a certain video or a certain post, and also engagement, how many people like or share. And we'll measure all of that. And we measure it with different metrics that we have for each channel and for even the time of year, even the type of content, if it's a baseball highlight versus something that's non-baseball. And we look to see if we can improve upon that. But those are kind of the basic ways we look at some of our strategy. But each channel represents a different strategy and a different audience. And it's in the old days, I think people would just post the same content on every channel and see which one did best. But now we actually curate content specifically based on the channel and the audience.
Wow. That's amazing stat about Sung Jun Lee and the million views in 24 hours, that would be the highest in the history coming off of, I mean, a team that won 3 world championships in the last 15 years. So that's, you think a Buster Hug would be higher than that, but no, a new fielder from another country where everyone wants to see what he's doing. You mentioned the younger demographics, but of course you're selling tickets too. And so some of your older fans are the ones who are going to drop, you know, $150 on an opening day ticket. Where do you find them? Facebook, Twitter, YouTube? Are those the three main for the older demographic?
Yeah. And again, you don't want to stereotype or generalize, but based on our data, a lot of our fans, you know, in the older and that have been more established with the team, they'll come to our website, Facebook. And it is interesting. YouTube is still, it kind of spans, and certain videos you'll see will skew older and certain videos will skew younger. Behind the scenes content does really well with younger fans. They love to see kind of a player, you know, what he does during a day, what's his routine at home, and kind of maybe a glimpse into their personal life. And obviously historical videos might skew a little older, and fans that, like you said, they want to see Buster Hugs and relive kind of those glory days. And even going back, you know, to, like I said, Will Clark, like I see Will Clark, I get a little emotional. So I think there is also a part of it of bridging the gap, if you will. You want to market your team and you want to reach younger fans, but you're also, you know, the one thing about the Giants is the history of the franchise and the connection with these players. We have something that we like to say, you know, forever Giant. Once you're put on that uniform, no matter where you end up, you're always going to be a forever Giant. And so to keep that connection and that history, and we have a very proud history. So there is content, there is social media for all of our fans. And I think, you know, a lot of times we're bringing back that history, even for our younger fans that our older fans are obviously into already.
So, Brian, give me one thing that has changed dramatically, maybe in a way that you didn't expect in 3 years, because it feels like this world is just speeding up. What are you doing today, or where are you today in terms of presence that you could not have imagined 3 years ago or 5 years ago? You picked the time horizon, but I'd imagine it's not like you can just enter into this year with last year's playbook because things have changed.
Yeah, it's like 3 years seems so long ago. And I think just in general, you look at, I think TikTok has made such a huge impact on the way, we'll call it vertical video. And, you know, those of us that work in social media, you'd love to have the polished videos and you have your team edit them. But you understand that also people, there's content creators that just have a phone and a computer and able to make, you know, content that resonates with a lot of people and can do it very quickly. So I think that's probably the biggest change is the availability of people making their own content. And that allows us also to take advantage and say, gosh, you know, if we just capture something on a phone that we just happen to be in the right place. It doesn't have to be the perfect video, but there's something about that authenticity and also the speed of getting it out there quickly. That's really been something that I think has changed a lot in the last few years.
No, I think you're right. You don't need all the polish all the time. Sometimes it's just the core video and everything else falls to the wayside. I mean, it's, do you ever think you're too old for this job, Brian, 25 years and you're dealing with this stuff? Do you ever think, holy cow.
That's why I have a team that knows what they're doing.
And they're young.
Stay young. I like to feel that my own kids keep me young by the way that they talk and the music and the shows that they watch and the trends. And to be honest, you know, it is, I have three boys at home. Let me just shout out George, Henry, and Joseph. And it's almost like I have my own focus group at home. So I'm able to kind of see what they're into. But yeah, I think you do recognize that, you know, you look in the mirror and you realize that you're a certain age and it's time. And I think that's where you step aside and I'm focused more on the strategic side and understanding and bridging the gap as well when we can, but at the same time, getting out of the way. And I think that a lot of times you look at great leaders, not that I'm a great leader, but I study them a lot. And you know that micromanaging or knowing when to step aside and just give your team the chance to, as the kids say, let them cook. So that's another Gen Z term I've learned. So yeah, I do think sometimes I'm older, but at the same time, I feel young. And I think social media and some of these trends keep you feeling young. And to be around a young team too is exciting.
Oh, I bet. Brian, we got to talk more about this. I want to talk about a number of things that you just brought up. Number one, the monetization of all this. I mean, I understand that, you know, people pay for rights to run your TV broadcast, for radio stations to run your radio. They sell spots. I know how that tree works, but I want to understand how the Giants monetize the work you do. I also want to talk to you a little bit about your three boys, and given the fact that you live and breathe in multiple social media channels, how do you treat your boys with regard to their access to technology and to the web? Because that's such a great debate these days anyway for parents, and it seems to be changing every year. I want to talk to you about all that stuff, but we got to take a break. So we'll be back. Brian Sarabian, San Francisco Giants, is our guest this week on Bite-Sized Finance.
Hello, this is Scott Thomas with CapTrust in our Sacramento office. I specialize in working with local nonprofits and associations. Annually, we survey private and public nonprofit organizations across the country to better understand challenges they see in today's environment. In our more recent survey, we heard concerns about proper board governance, mission-aligned investment, and how to implement alternative investments. If you would like a copy of the survey or to discuss your organization, look me up, Scott Thomas at CapTrust.com.
Kelly Brothers here for CapTrust. We are fiduciaries. That's an interesting word. What does that mean? That means that legally we are obligated to put your best interests over our own. Non-fiduciaries don't have that same legal situation. They can sell you something as long as it's suitable, but they don't have to put you in the best thing for you over their best interest. In other words, they can't just sell you a nice annuity with a big fat commission for themselves, even if it's not the best thing for you. We are fiduciaries. We are proud to be fiduciaries. And let me say something too about price. I am always shocked by the fact that there are people who I know will scour the internet for the cheapest flight or the cheapest ticket to a ball game, but they have no idea what they are paying for their advisor. We tell you upfront in black and white, here's what you're paying for what you're getting. Cap Trust here in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. Kelly Brothers back again, Bite Size Finance. You can find us KFBK, KSTE every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And if you want to reach out to me with an idea, someone to talk to, an idea to talk about, buysci-fi podcast@gmail.com is where you will find me. But we do appreciate you tuning in. Also a reminder, all the spots you hear in this show, they are all approved by me. If the spot is in this show, they have my seal of approval. I'll just say that right off the bat. Brian Sarabian is our guest. He is the head of social media for the San Francisco Giants. Let's talk about monetization because I truly don't understand that piece of it, Brian. Do the Giants make money on social media, or are they just increasing engagement with a fan base that then goes out and buys tickets and buys merchandise and watches and listens to the games?
Yes to both.
Okay.
I'll try to explain. So I think let's go with the second one first. Like you mentioned, when I grew up, when you grew up, there was no social media. So how did we follow our teams? It was through radio, it was through television. You might have met a player. Like I said, I saw Will Clark play and I saw him hit a home run in his first game. I'm like, wow, that guy, I'm going to follow this guy's career. I feel like this moment. So you try to create that emotional connection, just like we have. Then you have Kruk and Kipe and we have John Miller and Dave Fleming. People feel connected to them. I think in the early, we're trying to figure this out. Why would a brand get on social media? You're obviously thinking, oh, we can just advertise and put our ticket deals on there. But really, it was about entertaining. And you heard this word engagement. And I think that's the one difference about, yes, it is a business, but people feel they're connected to their sports teams differently. They almost feel like they're a community asset, if you will, much like the Kings, right? Have they, the way that they feel in Sacramento, people feel this sense of ownership with them and that they're their team. It brings the civic pride. So you do have that through social media and you do try to connect and you bring our players and you bring the brand closer to fans and you're hoping that that does lead to ticket sales and merchandise, but you take it a step further. And we're at a point now where it's gotten so detailed that we're able, if you watch that video we talked about earlier on YouTube and you click on a few more of our Facebook posts, then next thing you know, you might get yourself a little ad from the Giants because that's how social media works and tracking you and you're in our funnel. So there is a way for us to kind of track and see if that does connect with you. But then the other side of it is obviously the advertising, or as we call it, sponsorship. A number of sponsors will have their names on our outfield wall or throughout the ballpark or even sponsoring a giveaway. And obviously now it's in social media and they'll see a feature they really like and they want to put their brand on it with the Giants because they know that affinity to the team is so strong into inserting themselves in. And so if we have a large audience, an engaged audience, we're able to bring sponsors in and there is an opportunity for them to become part of that. And that's another way for us to monetize revenue.
Well, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of channels there. So let's talk about your three boys. As you mentioned, they're middle school, high school ages, let's say, and you know more about social media than any other man your age that I know. And obviously it's a huge debate right now about the impact of phones and social media and all that comes with it on the young mind. How have you handled that with your kids, and have you been informed by what you do for a living?
It's a great question, and I think it's a very personal to each family in the way you approach it. At the very least, I think it opens a conversation, you know, to have with your child about, you know, because none of us had this issue, and it's everything from, you know, access to the internet, but maybe more specifically, you know, people having you being involved with the conversations through social media with people either you know or don't know that cause stress and anxiety, et cetera. We know those stats that talk about that. And we kind of made a rule, and it's, we tried to keep our kids. We said, you're not going to get a phone until high school, which is very rare, but we kind of felt it was important for them to at least have to get through middle school. But I think it's still challenging. I think we have open conversations about the apps that they're on, but we also see that there is a positive side to it. It's a way, it's the new, so I mean, we used to hang out on the corner and play sports, and we're out till the, you know, till the streetlights came on. And we don't let our kids do that anymore. So the social outlet is playing Fortnite, or it's FaceTiming, or it's, you know, listening to music and studying and having someone on, you know, with you as you talk to them. So I think there is a positive social outlet. But you also, you know, depending on the age, it's good to have those conversations of, you know, the pros and cons of each of those things. And maybe you have to also be, I think, a little proactive to like see what they're actually doing, because we know kids are very smart and maybe hide some things. But as long as they understand, and there's, we hear the stories all the time, even in our own, you know, schools and communities. And I think those are all teachable lessons, that these kids are very vulnerable. But at the same time, there's a lot of positives that can come out of it. And I think it's obviously the future. And if you embrace it and learn from it, I think it can be a positive experience for all involved. But again, it's a personal choice, and I'm not advocating one way or the other. I think it's something each family has to decide and work through and talk to other families and get their opinions and experiences as well.
Fair enough. While we're on your family, the lovely and talented Selena Murphy Sarabian and you, as I understand it, have both had jobs in San Francisco while working in Sacramento. I just want to ask you, because you've been doing it for a while now, what is it like to be a super commuter, so to speak? And a lot of people's lives have changed since COVID and with remote work and everything that came with that. Has your schedule changed dramatically, or are you still making the trek 90 miles down I-80 whenever there's a home game?
I'm talking to you from Oracle Park as we speak. So there are, you know, this is a very busy time, so I'll spend a lot of time at the park at the beginning of the season, but I do split. And again, I think she's actually been doing it longer than I have, but I think we always say, oh, it's a temporary thing. And I think we were ahead of the trend. But
how many miles are on your car right now, Brian? How many miles? Come on.
This is like the third car I've gone through. Yeah. But hey, they're highway miles, so that's not a bad thing. But I did mention, we said I had three boys at home. So you don't get a lot of serenity. So I look at it as a way, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listened to your podcast a few times in preparation for this, which was great. I listened to books on Spotify. I make some calls when I need to. So I make the most of it. But I also have that ability to work from home when I can. And that gives me the ability to, you know, coach Little League with Joseph, go to Henry's volleyball games and see George and his play at Jesuit. So it's it goes both ways. So I think both my wife and I love our jobs a lot, but we love Sacramento and our community even more. So it's been the best of both worlds, but we drink a lot of coffee. We'll just say that.
That's fair enough. Hey, I hate to date this podcast because people listen at different points, but I have to, I can't not ignore the elephant in the room right now, that as we speak, supposedly there is a meeting going on which may result or could potentially result in the Athletics coming to Sacramento for 3 years before moving on to Las Vegas or somewhere else. You're a Sacramento guy, so I would think that from that perch, it would seem like a good thing. But at the same time, you're a Giants guy, and the Giants like to think they own Northern California. What do you feel about the move, and would that change anything that the Giants have to do, or probably not?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's terrible that the A's are leaving Oakland. I mean, like I said, I grew up in Fresno. You had a lot of A's fans, you had a lot of Giants fans, and just because they're in a certain area, it, you know, it spread, and going to A's games was always great. And I think it's really sad that they're, because it's a great fan base. At one time, it was a great experience at the Coliseum. There were some great plans out there. I don't have any more insight than you in terms of that. As far as them going to Sacramento, I mean, is what I've read, and again, I don't have any extra insight. It does sound like it would be a great thing for Sacramento. I don't think it would necessarily change what we do. Obviously, we have a strong connection in Sacramento with the River Cats, who have been fantastic partners and part of the organization. And the game that we had there a few weeks ago, we'll be doing that for another 4 or 5 seasons, I believe. We had our fan fest there. So I don't think it's going to change anything in that way. I think it would be really, I think they would do great because I know Sacramento would support them. I think there'd probably be a lot of Giants fans that would support them because you're seeing Major League Baseball. So I don't know any of the details. I guess we'll just wait to see what happens. As long as it's positive for, I care about Sacramento a lot. So I think as long as it's positive for Sacramento, the Giants will be just fine. But I think we would, in honest to God, I think if you asked a lot of people, the Giants would be fine with them staying in Oakland and have no problem at all, because we've both have been successful with two teams in the same market and probably could continue to. So yeah. With all that being said, though, I guess we'll wait to see what the final verdict is, and hopefully that's soon, because I think they just need to make some closure and move forward.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I will say, I think the Giants paid attention to Sacramento even before the River Cats became affiliated with the Giants.
Oh, absolutely.
I always felt like they realized that they had
Dusty Baker. See Dusty, I mean, the way that the fans treat Dusty, and actually I was at a game recently with Logan Webb. The love that those, you know, the love that Sacramento has for people that are from there, and especially in the baseball, has had such a rich history in Sacramento. That was the one thing I learned. And I actually had 2 brief years with the River Cats, and it was, you know, something that kind of helped me understand kind of the history of Sacramento. And it's been great. So I knew there was always a strong Giants base, even when there was a lot of River Cats fans when the A's were there that were Giants fans, because you could tell when the Giants, Fresno Giants or Fresno Grizzlies came into town. So definitely.
No, it was, you know why there's so much love? Because of the love they show for Sacramento. I mean, Logan Webb, I walked with him next at the Run to Feed the Hungry. Dusty, you see it a lot of different, you see him at Kings games. The love is real. So it goes both ways. Brian Sarabian is our guest. He is the head of social media for the San Francisco Giants. Back to finish up our conversation with Brian right after this.
For over 40 years, Drobny Law Offices has been assisting clients properly plan their estates and administer the estate of a loved one. With 6 attorneys and 5 paralegals practicing exclusively in estate planning and estate administration, Drobny Law Offices can assist in planning and administering estates from the modest to the largest and most complicated. The main offices are in Sacramento with satellite offices in Stockton, Modesto, San Ramon, Palo Alto, San Diego, and Reno. Unlike attorneys who charge by the tenth of the hour, estate plans are done for a flat fee, including not just the document production, but funding the trust, annual review letters, and routine amendments for life. The attorney-client relationship doesn't end with the execution of your documents. It's just the beginning. Estate planning is an ongoing process. Call 916-419-2100 for a free initial consultation. Drobny Law Offices, your attorneys for life. DrobnyLaw.com.
Do you have a financial plan for your pets? Protecting your loved ones, both 2- and 4-legged, is important, and the Sacramento SPCA can help. Join us for a complimentary estate planning seminar and learn how you can provide for your family and your pets while also creating a lifeline for animals in need. Visit sspca.org/estate to view seminar dates and secure your spot for one of our upcoming virtual sessions. That's sspca.org/estate.
Hey, this is John Lockwood. I'm a certified financial planner with Cap Trust. And 19 years ago, I made a decision to dedicate my career to helping people make smarter financial decisions. You see, growing up, my parents worked hard, made good money, but they did not understand the complexities of financial analysis, taxes, and estate planning that ultimately led to my parents' worst nightmare, becoming a financial burden on their children. And my calling is to help people flourish financially in any economic environment, to have the fortitude to endure the challenges that life throws at us. I invite you to call my team to discuss our fee-based financial advisory practice to help you live a confident and abundant life. Call us at 916-924-7527 or online at captrust.com.
Back again on Bite Size Finance. We're talking today with Brian Sarabian. He is, I had to give the full title. He's not just head of social media. He's vice president, brand development, digital media. He'll be taking over for Larry Bear next year.
No, I won't say that, Brian.
I would never say that, Brian. Of course I wouldn't. But he has been with the Giants for over a quarter century now. So, Brian, I got to ask you, because any baseball fan has these just moments that are just seared in their brain. They're branded in there. I mean, I remember being at the game when Travis Ishikawa hit the home run to win the National League Championship Series, to win the pennant for the Giants. I remember my boys meeting Ryan Vogelsang at an event. There are just moments that just stick out to you. Give me the two or three that jump out for you after 25 plus years with the Giants.
Well, I've been so lucky. I mean, I think just so lucky. There's so many moments. Maybe the number one to me was the 2010 parade. And to see a parade, to be a part of a parade, I've never seen that many people together. I mean, over a million people. It was a beautiful day. And honest to God, it was maybe you saw every representation, every person, every age, every race, every come together in pure happiness. And it was loud. It was just a beautiful, it was almost like a movie. I will never forget that day. It was maybe the most perfect day I've ever experienced. And you just kind of saw like, wow, this is what sports can do. It can bring families together. You saw people crying. You saw you heard letters and letters. We, of course, had two more after that. But that first one.
Can you imagine, Brian, if the Kings ever won a championship, what that would be like?
Oh, my God. I mean, I can't imagine it.
You can, because you've seen it once before, which is great.
I can, because Sacramento is, last year's run was quite incredible. So I know they're knocking on the door, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it's really amazing when a community and generations kind of come together for something like that, that people, again, it was 52 years in the making. So that was awesome. We were talking earlier about the walk-off in 2014 NLCS with Travis Ishikawa, to see a walk-off Giants win the pennant at home. We have not seen the Giants win the World Series at home. They've been on the road for all three. I have been at all three of those, but it would be amazing to see them win at home. But again, you just want them to win. But that winning the pennant, and I'll tell you what, Kelly, to me, I remember actually the home run right before that, the inning before, Michael Morse hitting it to tie the game.
That was louder than when Ishikawa hit it.
That's the eruption of the fans was just, it was crazy. You could almost feel Ishikawa's home run happen, because it was just building to that point, or at least you knew something was going to happen. Morse, it just came out of nowhere. So I think that game really stood out. And then if we're going back, well, the Matt Cain perfect game was maybe the most intense, stressful excitement. And I was live tweeting that game. That was 2012, right? So, and I'm old school. I believe in superstitions. Like, you can't say anything. It's like, what do you say? You know, someone's throwing a perfect game. Not great for social media.
And so, then who made the catch? Was that Gregor Blanco who made the catch?
Gregor Blanco. That's right. Yeah. And just it, you, because again, I said I'm blessed to have all these great games, but that was one that was just, because every pitch you're on the edge of your seat. Like, is this going to happen? It just gets closer. And it was just the middle of June, I think. June 12th, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So that, again, all these moments I've had, I should write them all down so they don't forget them. But it's been an incredible ride. I think we're going to think the story is still writing itself. There'll be more, though. I can feel it. But it's been awesome.
Well, and I know, you know, there's a few improvements this year that you and the team have made at the park, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of people don't realize, I mean, Oracle Park now is, what, 24 years old? Is that right?
You mentioned Larry Bear. This is his favorite line. He says, this will be the 25th season of our new ballpark. So it feels new. it feels like it just opened. But yeah, there's, you know, much like we take care of our houses, you have to, you know, make improvements, paint, sometimes redo your driveway, et cetera. We made some major improvements. The lighting this year is going to be like something you've seen these other baseball teams where the lights go out and flash with different colors. And but we have spotlights. So when Camilo Duvall enters the game in the ninth inning, it's going to be a spectacle. When there's a home run late in the game, it's going to be something. And we have a brand new sound system that I've been told is not louder, is clear, but it definitely sounds louder to me. But I think the experience.
You're getting old.
And that's what that's it. That's it. But
turn down the sound.
Kind of, you know, entertainment.
Yeah. I will say this though, and I'm biased. I'll admit that up front, but that park has stood the test of time. It is still the most beautiful park in baseball, rivaled only by Pittsburgh, which, by the way, was built by a Sacramento guy, Mr. Clatchy, who built that. So, but I mean, it really has. And I often thought, and this might have been just connecting dots that weren't there, Brian, but I often thought that's one of the problems that the A's has in trying to design and build a new park. It's not going to measure up to that park, because that park is a wonderful place to watch a game.
Yeah, the number of people that made this park happen, it's incredible. And I think that was the idea, was to make a timeless something that was felt like it had been there for a very long time, but still felt new. And you mentioned Pittsburgh, just another in the two things about that, they're both against the water. And I think that, you know, just adds that special element. And people, it really is amazing. Like if you get on the TikTok or Instagram and you see people who've been here for the first time, that they're enamored with the views, they're enamored with the cove, they're enamored with just the way it feels. So to, you know, people who come here time after time, the excitement level is there, but there's still a lot of people who experience it and they have that same feeling. So I think we're all very lucky. And, you know, Kelly, the drive is not that far. I do it often. So you should come up a few more times.
It's all about the mindset. It's all about the mindset. All right, Brian, we're down to the last 2 minutes or so. Give me, if you had a young person approach you today and they were a marketing major at Santa Clara, at Sac State, at UC Davis, and they wanted to get into the world that you were into, what advice would you give them? How did they get there?
I'd say look where you are right now. If you're at Sac State or UC Davis, go walk into that athletic department and say, hey, I want to learn. I want to help. Whether that's in PR and writing, if that's in marketing, if that's in social media, look at your schools that you're in, look at the communities, maybe it's a church, get that hands-on experience. And then the second thing I'd say is get out there and meet people, network, you know, reach out on LinkedIn, talk to someone who knows someone, listen to podcasts, try to connect and build your network. And from there, you'll find that there's a path that you create. And it never goes the way you want, but it takes you on a different road and you keep learning and growing. And I think you find you're going to, much like myself, you're going to find a lot of opportunities you didn't know existed, and the right one will come along. So it, much like you'll tell your clients to think long term, very similar with this. You got to think long term, but you got to put the work in day in and day out. And there's a lot of success stories just like that.
Just like you, Brian, there's a lot of young people today who are going to end up in jobs that they can't even conceive of right now, that don't exist and you couldn't even conceive of. But Brian, what a pleasure to talk to you. I mean, not just because you're good at what you do and not just because you're a great guy, but because it is just so great to see someone doing what they do very well and doing it for the organization they want to work for. I mean, that's just a great mix. I don't get any sense that Brian Sarabian is hoping that the Miami Marlins come calling tomorrow. You know, that he's with the Giants. He's where he needs to be and where he wants to be. And that's great. Congratulations. Well done.
I could see myself driving a Ferrari in Miami one day. You never know. Miami Vice was a great show. I love what I do.
Brian, thanks a million for your time. Brian Sarabian, Vice President, Brand Development and Digital Media for the San Francisco Giants. Our guest today on Bite Size Finance. We greatly appreciate Brian's time and expertise. Again, you're going to find this show 3 o'clock every Sunday on KFBK or KSTE or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. A company started out of a pickup truck in Sacramento in 1947. And today, that man's granddaughter, Allison Otto of Otto Construction, is running the business, and they are doing fantastic. She's my next guest on Bite Size Finance, Sunday at 3 on KFBK. Thanks for listening to Buy Sci-Fi Bite-Sized Finance. If you liked what we served up today, please give us your rating, subscribe, and by all means, share. Music for the show produced locally by Kitty O'Neill and her band, Skylar's Pool.
Under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, this podcast is defined as an advertisement and includes an uncompensated testimonial by a Cap Trust client. Please be advised that clients' experiences as described in this podcast do not necessarily represent the experience of other clients. The discussions and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speaker and are subject to change without notice. This podcast is intended to be informational only. Nothing in this podcast constitutes a solicitation, investment advice, or recommendation to invest in any securities. Cap Trust Financial Advisors is an investment advisor registered under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. CapTrust does not render legal advice. Thanks again for listening to Bite Sized Finance.
Kelly Brothers here for CapTrust. We are fiduciaries. That's an interesting word. What does that mean? That means that legally we are obligated to put your best interests over our own. Non-fiduciaries don't have that same legal situation. They can sell you something as long as it's suitable. But they don't have to put you in the best thing for you over their best interest. In other words, they can't just sell you a nice annuity with a big fat commission for themselves, even if it's not the best thing for you. We are fiduciaries. We are proud to be fiduciaries. And let me say something too about price. I am always shocked by the fact that there are people who I know will scour the internet for the cheapest flight or the cheapest ticket to a ball game, but they have no idea what they are paying for their advisor. We tell you up front in black and white, here's what you're paying for what you're getting. Cap Trust, here in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom.